Hello, welcome to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Each time I present the video, I like to focus on a specific message. And this particular message is going to be a continuation of our last message, which was entitled, When God Whispers in Your Ear. But before we go there, I'd like to take a moment to say that many of you watch my blog on Facebook. And on my Facebook profile, I'm now at 5,000 friends. Now, you may already know this, but the limit is 5,000 for Facebook on my profile. But the good news is that if you go to my Facebook page, not my profile, but my Facebook page, and you follow me there, then I'll be able to continually send you new videos as we produce them. So again, let me encourage you, if you're a Facebook watcher, and you're trying to be a friend or trying to friend me, go to my page instead and follow me there. Okay, so let's get to today's message. And as I said, today's message is a continuation of our last post, which was entitled, When God Whispers in Your Ear. And of course, the Holy Spirit can speak words and so to speak, whisper into your ear. Now you hear them in your mind, in your soul, but nevertheless, that's how God often speaks to many of us. Now, the Holy Spirit can also speak through the Logos word. Now, when I use the phrase Logos word, what I'm talking about is the Logos or the word that is found in the Bible. This is what's called Logos. That's Greek for word. So when we use when we refer to the scriptures as the word and we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about the Logos word, the written word, if you will. And the wonderful thing, though, is that when the Holy Spirit can bring back to remembrance the things that you've learned and the principles that you've learned through the Bibles. And so when the Holy Spirit speaks that back to you, we call that the Rhema word. And the Rhema word is literally, the Rhema is also a Greek word, but it means an utterance. And so when the Lord speaks or whispers in your ear, we're talking about the Rhema word. And very often when the Rhema word comes, it's because you have a question, you need direction, or you're facing a crisis and you need to decide which way to go. So remember, Rhema is an utterance, Logos is written. Now, since the Bible is the Logos word, you would think that everyone would interpret it the same way. In other words, the Logos is what we call objective. It applies to all believers. And you'd think it would be difficult to misinterpret the Bible. But as you know, there are some who will misinterpret the Bible. Now for us, the best way to be sure that you're correct in the interpretation of the scriptures is to look at something that a friend of mine used to call the preponderance of evidence or the preponderance of scripture. In other words, we look at places where the scripture talks about the same thing in various places in the Bible. So we don't base a doctrine or a faith, an issue of faith, on simply one verse of scripture. The Bible teaches in Isaiah 28, verses 10 and 13, that the way we learn is line upon line, precept upon precept. And so this sort of begs the question, you know, what is the process of learning? And I believe that there are three stages of learning. The first stage is what we call the knowledge stage. That's where every beginner, every new believer begins. It's accumulating information, facts, or data, if you will, and the only place you can get that in a safe way is from the word itself, from the Logos word. You learn about the books of the Bible. You learn about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You learn about the various characters and the places that are mentioned in the Bible. And all of that are really facts and information that help us build a picture of what God wants us to come to. Now, God wants us to come to a place of the second level, which is understanding. You see, that's our goal. It's not just simply the accumulation of information and facts and figures, but it's understanding what God is trying to say. And that means making a connection between the characters in the Bible, the places in the Bible, the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so all of these things are meant to give us understanding. Now, here's the important part about spiritual things. You see, being a believer is not about the physical realm. It's not about the world that we live in. It's about the kingdom of God that we are members of. And so I want to encourage you that don't settle for just knowing information, but realize that God wants you to get to a place of understanding. And then there's a third level. We have, remember, knowledge first, then understanding, and then we want to get to a place of wisdom. Wisdom comes when you have the understanding of the character and the nature of God and the character and nature that He wants to impart into us. And wisdom is when you take that understanding and you begin to apply it to your own life. In other words, you begin to do the word rather than just understand the word. You're doing it. You're doing it in practical ways. Now, when the Holy Spirit speaks a rhema word to us, it's usually to build our character. Now, what kind of character should you be? Well, it's clear that the character we are called to become, the character we're called to be is the character of Jesus Christ. See, we're to become more like Him. Now, what does it mean to become more like Jesus? Well, in Matthew 20:20, there's an interesting account where the mother of James and John speaks to Jesus and asks Jesus to place her sons at the head of the table, seats that were reserved for honor. And then Jesus then rebukes this request, and He makes it clear that why He came to earth. He makes it clear in verse 28. You see, Jesus says, "I came to serve and not be served." And so if we're to be like Jesus, we need to recognize that we come to serve and not be served. You know, I know very often when we're delivered from our background, we're delivered from our past, and God puts our feet on a new place, that we're very often looking for God to bless us in so many ways. And that's only natural, and that's normal, and that's fine. But at the same time, we need to be careful that we don't lose sight of the fact that we're not here to be served, but we're here to serve. You see, as we serve others, our Heavenly Father will take care of us. The work of the Holy Spirit, being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, is a work of the Spirit as He brings the words of the Bible to memory. And what He brings us to memory are those important decisions about the righteousness of God. What do I mean by the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God are those things that are right in God's eyes. Not your eyes, but in God's eyes. Not the eyes of the world, but in the Father's eyes. And so when we talk about righteousness, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about His righteousness and what that really means. So as believers in Jesus Christ, the good news is that the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us. That means it's been given to us. It's been implanted. It's been sown into us. You see, we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But Jesus made it available to us. He gave it to us. We are righteous. So in the Father's eyes, when He sees us as righteous in Christ. Now, the reality, though, is that we also need to learn how to be righteous in the natural realm. As believers, we are expected to walk in righteousness in our daily lives. That means we're to do what Jesus would do. We're to behave the way Jesus would behave. We're to act the way Jesus would act. Romans 12:2 says the following. The Apostle Paul writes, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The renewing of your mind is the work of the Holy Spirit, "that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That perfect and acceptable will of God is the righteousness of God. Your character is changed as you learn to be led by the Holy Spirit to be conformed or to become more like Jesus. Romans 8:29 says the following, "For whom He foreknew," that's you, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so when we talk about righteousness and learning how to live righteously, we need to recognize that there are many voices that speak into our lives. There are the voices of our friends. There's the voices of our society. There are the voices of the media. But there really are only three voices that we really need to be aware of that are most important. And the three voices that you need to be able to identify are, first of all, the voice of God. That's the most important. But also recognize that Satan also has a voice and is trying to speak into your life. And thirdly, that there's the voice of self. And that's sometimes the most difficult one to overcome. Now remember, the Holy Spirit of God will only speak righteous attitudes and behaviors into your life. Satan, on the other hand, will try to cause doubt and disbelief in what God has said. Self, on the other hand, is sometimes the hardest one to overcome because self has to do with wanting what you want. I think as human beings, we all want what we want. We all feel that we deserve certain things in life, and we want it, and we want it now. And so if we're going to truly be led by the Spirit of God, we have to learn how to put our self-wants aside, recognize the doubt and disbelief that Satan would whisper into our ear, and realize that the voice of righteousness is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's important as we look at the Logos word and, of course, the Rhema word as the word becomes alive to us, is to never interpret Scripture based on self-interest. Now, by self-interest, as I mentioned a moment ago, it's what we want. But if what you want is at the benefit of someone else's expense, then that's wrong. Remember, we were called to serve, not be served. If we will serve others, then God will take care of our needs. James 4:3 says, "You ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, you ask for the wrong thing, that you may spend it on your own pleasures." We want what we want, don't we? But we need to learn how to put aside what we want, because what God wants for us is so much greater. Now, when the word is applied to your life, that's Rhema. Remember, we said that if Logos word, the Bible, is objective, applies to everybody, the Rhema word is subjective, and it can be open to interpretation. Like visions and dreams, there are three stages. The first stage, of course, is the revelation stage. The revelation stage is how you receive the inspiration, how you receive the insight, how you receive the Rhema word. And he can speak to us in so many different ways. Some people have dreams and visions. Some people hear God in an audible voice. Some people see images or patterns or pictures in their minds, and they see that it's God speaking to them. And others, we just hear that still, quiet voice in our hearts, and we know that God is speaking to us. And everything, whether it's dreams or visions, pictures or patterns, voices, or that still, quiet voice inside, we have to make sure that it lines up with the Logos word, because the Logos word is truth. So how we get revelation differs upon who you are. Everyone is different. God speaks to us in unique ways. The next step, though, is what we call the interpretation. And the interpretation is simply, you know, how do I understand what I am receiving? What is God trying to say to me? And one of the first questions you should ask is this for me? Is this about me? Because it's so much easier to think that we get something and we want to say, okay, this is a word for you, or this is a word for you. It's really difficult for us to look at our own lives and acknowledge that we have faults and acknowledge that we are the ones that have to change. And very often, God is speaking to us because he is shaping us, he's conforming us to become more and more like Jesus. There's stuff in our lives that we have to get rid of, and there are stuff that God wants to give us so that we can be more like Jesus. And so we have the revelation, then we have the interpretation, which we just spoken of, and then the third part is also extremely important, and that's called the application. How do I apply what I believe God is saying? As I said, is this something that I need to do? Is God trying to challenge me to change? One of the things I've learned about God is that very often the Lord will ask you to do something you really don't want to do. We don't want to forgive. You know, we don't want to admit that we're wrong. We can be very, very prideful in areas, and we don't want to give in to those areas. But nevertheless, God is shaping you, He's conforming you to become more and more like Jesus. I'm going to give you a quick personal example of a rhema word that really impacted my life. Now, when I was younger, I had a lot of anger issues, and God dealt with those anger issues. And again, that's a story, that's another testimony for another time. But one of the things that God used was, of course, the Logos word. And the word that He revealed to me was in James chapter 1, verse 19. And so let me read that to you. And it says the following: "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, or slow to anger. For the wrath or anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now here I am, I'm an angry man. God is dealing with me. I read this scripture for the first time in the Word, and all of a sudden, it speaks to me. See, the words on the page was the Logos, but it speaks to me because the Holy Spirit was making it a rhema word for me. He was showing me that I have no excuse for my anger, that my anger was something that I was hanging on to and that I needed to let it go. Now, the story doesn't end there, because now what would begin to happen is that every time I would begin to get angry, it would begin to rise up in me. What I found is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would remind me of verse 20, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And all of a sudden, I had to make a decision. Am I going to obey my King, or am I going to obey my flesh? And the point is, time and time again, God will reveal verse 20 to me. And over time, my anger began to subside and go away. You know, the Word says that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That sound mind means that we have self-control. And so, you see that James 1, 19 and 20 was a Logos word when I first read it and it spoke to me, but then God would repeat it to me time and time again as I experienced certain situations in life. And that was the rhema word. Listen, it's so important to realize that being Christian is not all about you, but it's about you serving our King and Lord Jesus Christ and pleasing Him. And the way we do that is we love Him, then we love those He's called to into our realm, into our sphere of influence. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the King of the kingdom of God, not your own kingdom. Leaders, I know you're out there, and I've had to struggle with the same thing in my own life. It's so easy to fall into the trap of building your own kingdom so that others would serve you. I encourage you, there's only one King, there's only one kingdom, and His name is Jesus, and it's the kingdom of God. You need to make sure that you are a servant leader, one who is called to serve and lead at the same time. And so how do you do that? You just make a decision to be faithful. And you make a decision to be faithful in the little things first. That's what Luke 19, 11 teaches, the parable of the coins. You know, it's whatever you're given, you do the best, you give your best to whatever you're given, whatever is in front of you to do. And as you're faithful with the little, then God will reveal the greater to you. Amen. And then let me close with one of my favorite scriptures, Matthew 6:33. I'm sure you know this by heart already. But seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, seek him in becoming more and more like Jesus in your life, and he will take care of all of your needs. God bless you. Again, I look forward to seeing you the next time. Don't forget, head over to my Facebook page, not my profile, but my Facebook page, and you'll be able to follow me there. God bless you. We'll see you the next time.